Okay, good morning. We're up to Perek Gimel Pasik, Yudalet. Okay, Oim Sarim Yevo here is describing, he's cursing the day that he was born, cursing the moment he was conceived, and he's wishing that he was never born. And he says that had I never been born, I would have been, or had I been born, had I been conceived, had I been created and died as a stillborn, I would have, at this point in time, been resting in my grave quietly, peacefully, together with the Molochim, the kings, the Yotzei Aretz, and the counselors of the earth, Habonim, Charavai Slama, who built for the ruins for themselves. We mentioned before, either means people who have these legacies, who, as was customary, to build ruined cities as a monument for their life, for their works, or means people that were once upon a time very successful, but ultimately, he's mocking them. Ultimately, their hard work all turns into nothing more than a ruin. Pasuk Yudalid, Oim Sarim, I would have been now resting with Sarim Zohav Lohem, with princes to whom possess an abundance of gold, Hamim Malim Batehem Kosef, who fill their homes with silver. So simply just a repetition, people who are extremely wealthy, who have gold and who have silver, and the Farshim say that this is also, he's mocking them. Person does not die fulfilling even half of his desires. The Sarim Zohav Lohem doesn't mean only that they actually possess gold, it means they want. They work their entire life to acquire gold, but when it's all over, what have they accomplished? Kesef, silver. Okay, silver is only 1/25. According to Chazal, I don't know what it is today, what the price is fluctuating, but according to Chazal, I think silver, the ratio between silver and gold is the same amount of weight of gold is always 25 times more valuable than the value of silver. What?
Yeah,
that's
today. It's $21
silver,
and gold. Okay, so this is Chazal's ratio. Chazal's ratio is 25 times more than silver, which is very interesting because the Gemara says the person only fulfills half. So his Eev is much more pessimistic than Chazal. According to Chazal, a person, he dies, he accomplishes half of what he wanted to accomplish. Person has 100, he wants 200. He has 200, he wants 400. Here he says, the Sarim, Zohav Lohem, gold is with them, which we're interpreting to mean that they desire to acquire gold. But when the day is over, Hamimalim Batehim Kosef, they only succeed in filling up their homes with silver, which is 1/25 of what they really wanted. Okay, let's take a look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Gedalid. Pasik Yudali, give me 1 second to find the place. Oh, you saw him. Oh, Hayisi Shechet Doimel Sarim. I would have been lying now at peace in the grave together with the Sarim, Bale Hazav, these very wealthy, affluent people who own gold. He's explaining in the grave, there's no difference between Olai, Veloi, Lebale, Hamem Shalah, going back to the previous pasuk, people who represent the government, Veloi, Lebale, Ha'isher, Aval Ato, Elmi, Adame, Ve'eshova, but now that I am alive and I suffer, to whom can I be compared to? Living is worse than dying. When you're alive, you're nothing. Right, when you're alive, you're a total nothing. But when you're dead, so at least you're just as good as the dead. The dead, all the wealthy, successful people, I would have been equal to them in the grave. Okay, next, let's see where's Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Dalid. There is no Yud Dalid in Rashi. Okay. We did the Rashi yesterday. We actually did Rashi Pasuk Yud Gimel yesterday. Yeah, we did, okay. Pasuk Tezvav. Och Nefel Tamon. Now he goes to the other extreme, where I would have been like a Nefel. A Nefel means a stillborn. That's Tamon. Lo Ehyeh. Or could I not be? It's a rhetorical question. Hashem, could I not be? Why do I have to live? Why do I have to live and suffer? Why can't I be like a Nefel Tamon? Lo Ehyeh. Like a stillborn that is hidden inside its mother's womb, like an infant It's oilim over here, according to the simple interpretation, is another word for stillborn, that low rohu or that never saw the light of day. If only, why Hashem can't I be like these creatures who never experienced life on this world? They at least are at peace. They at least have never suffered. I have come into this world, have nothing but suffering. Let's take a look at it right in the Mitzvot Pasuk Tesvav. O Kenefel Tamun Musav Al Lama. Okay, this Pasuk Tesvav, this Pasuk is very complex. You have to know where they're referring back to. There are many words that are missing. You have to take words that appear in the beginning of the Pasuk, in the middle of the Pasuk, and you have to repeat them multiple times to make sense of the Pasukim. So here this Pasuk is going back on Lama. Why can't it be? Why can't it be that I would be like a Nefel Tamun? Musav al Lama, ha'omer betchilas inyan, loymar. This means to say, O Lama, kinefel Tamun lo ehaya. I think the word is Tamun. There's a mistake in the print. It's not Mamun, it should be Tamun. Or why couldn't it have been that my fate would have been, what?
Tamun.
Right, Tamun. You have a test? I have a mem. I have two mems. Are you kinefel Mamun lo ehaya? No? I have the same print as you. Yeah. Reading the same thing? Page Chaf Hei? On page Chaf Hei, three lines from the top? Page Chaf Hei.
It's two mems there.
Page Chaf Hei.
Three lines from the top.
You don't have this. I'm doing the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos, David, three lines down. Go back to the beginning of the Dibur Maaseh. Let's go two lines down. Oy kinefel Tamun musav al lama he'omer b'tchilas o'inyin loymar oy lama kinefel Tamun. Okay, in my print it says kinefel mamon. Can't be mamon. Why couldn't it have been that I would have been like a nefel that's hidden? Lama lo hayisi nefel. Why could I not have been a nefel, a stillborn? V'hu hanefel merechem. Why is a nefel called a nefel? So he's just telling us some explanation, some background to the source of this word. A stillborn is a creature that falls from the mother's womb. V'hu hanefel merechem koidem zimano, before its time. Before it is complete, before its development is complete. The old lo nispashtu evar, before its limbs have been formed. V'adayim hu mekubal, this infant is still folded up. All the limbs, all the parts of the body are folded up. V'tamun, kitsasa, b'kitsasa. He's coming to explain why it says tamun. Because an infant, in its early stage, the limbs are hidden one within the other. Each limb is wrapped around the other. And it's difficult to make out the form of the body at that point in time. So that's why it's called Kinefel Tamun. Lo ehye. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. A miscarriage. So why couldn't I have been like a miscarriage or keoilim? So now the word oilim is the same thing. Heim hanefalim asherlohu or hayom. So the word oilim, we usually use the word oilim as an infant. That's the more common use, atinok. But here in this pasuk, he's using the word olel as a synonym for a stillborn or for a miscarriage. Standing as a nefel, he's using it as the same idea. Heim hanefalim, oil is in the fallim, asher lo roh or hayim, who have not seen the light of day. V'kofel hadavar b'milim shoynos, and he repeats himself multiple times with different words. It is interesting that he's telling us here that a nefel does not see light. There's much discussion. At what point in time does an infant, at what point in time, there's a lot of medical research has been done into this, was a baby begin to see? So what do they say? They say he doesn't see at least for the first couple of days. Right? They've proven this. So what about inside the mother's womb? So certainly, if the baby doesn't see until he comes out, does not come out until even after he's born, he does not see until a later point in time. So certainly he does not see when he's in his mother's womb. But the Chazal do tell us that a baby in the mother's womb, there's an Or Makif. There is some type of light which is Mistakel Misoifa Oilam Viat Soifa. In the mother's womb, there is a spiritual light, which we don't understand. The neshama gazes the entire world from one end to the other end. So here it says, obviously, loirohu ar, we're now referring over here to that spiritual type of light, to see from one end to the other, referring to a physical light, which does not come until after a person is born. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Parashi Pasuk Tezvav Ko'ilim, Tinoikos. An oilel is a tinoik, it's a baby, an infant. Why they call, so here's an amazing Rashi. Why is a child, a tinoik, called an olel? So he says, Shekulam Olel means laughter. It means like an alila. An alila means
he's
allowed to mock. An object of ridicule, because a child has no seichel. A child does not have any intellect, and everything a child does is foolish. And therefore, a child is called an olel to represent the concept that he's lacking knowledge, he's lacking any seichel. If an adult behaves like an idiot, without any das, everyone laughs at him.
Well,
childish. So that's exactly what an infant is. He's an oilal. Shekulam sechok. They're all full of laughter, meaning nonsense. Velichluch and filth, physical filth, because they crawl in garbage. Kimo veoilalti ba'afar. I crawled in earth. Veoilalti. Those two words have been used together to show that I'm filthy. I'm filthy. That in this context, veoilalti means I'm dirty. I am filthy in afar. Uchemo v'yis'alulu ba kol halayla. Hashem mocked ba them the entire evening. Okay, so v'yis'alulu kol halayla, not them. This is referring to pasuk in Shoftim. Also, of v'yis'alulu kol halayla, meaning also of mocking and ridicule. So that's what he means over here. Ka'olim l'ro'u ar, an infant. Okay, just giving us an explanation of what those words mean. The pasuk tezayin, sham rishaim chadlu rogez. Now he goes on to say some very powerful concepts about death. All the secrets, again, this whole sefer was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. He's revealing to us secrets between the lines, between the words. We learn about what goes on in the other world. Sham and death, rishaim chadlu rogez. Wicked people are full of anger. They're madmen. When they're no longer in this world, their anger subsides. They cease. Their anger doesn't continue. V'sham yenuchu yigiyei chayach. Right. This is the mizmor. This is from Yoyna Matzah Menoach. V'sham yenuchu yigiyei chayach. L'chayre comes from here. So here, there, those who are tired, yigiyei chayach. Those who work hard. There they rest. Let's see over here the Mitzvah's Pasuk Tes Zayin. In the grave, Sham, Ratzolaymar, Masha, Hisava, Lishkoin, Bekever, this that ye have desired to rest in the grave, Hu, Bavur, Kisham, Cholu, Harisham, Mirogzam, Velo Yosiful, Hisrages, they are no longer angry, Velichos, Al Hanoshim, Matsum, Kain, Shochne, Akever, Mirgoya, Min, Harisham. Therefore, comes out that those that lie in the grave are at peace from the wicked. So you escape. In other words, he's saying something very deep, the Mitzudos, that in this world, there are victims. People are being persecuted. People are being victimized. People are suffering. Why do people suffer? Because other people, the stronger, are taking advantage over the weaker. So that is the source of much suffering. He's coming to bring out a very powerful point that a lot there's suffering which Hashem brings upon man for whatever reason. People suffer, they're ill, they suffer physical pain. But a good part of the suffering that exists in this world is not because of Hashem's doing, it's because one man tortures another man. And the wickedness of one man torturing the other is called the roiges, the anger of the wicked. In the next world, this anger does not have any shlita, and therefore man or the neshama is free from being victimized by those who have more power. Okay, that's what he's saying. I'll be free in the grave. I'll be free from. Now, what's very strange is we don't find over here Eiv. Why is Eiv saying this? When did Eiv suffer from the wicked? So we have to assume that he's referring to Shiva and to the Kastin. That's what we have. So he's coming over to complain simply. So it's very difficult. When you read the Pesukim here, you simply assume that all of his complaints only focus on his physical pain. Because in Perek Aleph, after Hashem took away his possessions, and Hashem took away his children, Eov did not say anything against Hashem. V'loy nosan tifla. He did not offer words of complaint to Hashem. The only time he cracked, he began to complain is in Perek Beis when Hashem brought upon him physical suffering. If that's the case, so why now is he complaining about the Rishoyim Chalu Roges? That's not the source of his trouble. The source of his trouble is the physical pain that has come over him. So what then do we learn from this? That once Eov cracked, once already he began to complain about the tsar, his physical, the yisurim, that already opened up a Pesach to complain about the loss of children. Well, we have to get that soon. And about the loss of his possessions, the loss of his property. And the loss of his property came through Shiva, Malcha Shiva, and came through the Kastin. So they, L'chayra, are the ones, if you want to learn very simple, he's talking about he's observing the world. And in the world, if I will be dead, then that's what the grave is all about. But if you want to make this story personal, and say that he also has been victimized by the Rishayim, that means now he's coming to complain and describe what goes on, and then in the next world he would not have to come on to this horrible thing of losing his possessions. Because there, Cholu Roges, and there, Yenucho Yigiechoy. Let's go over here one, let's see over here, okay, let's go Yigiechoy. Next words of the Mesudos. Oysom Shahoya Koychom Yoga, those whose Koyach was Yoga V'Oyef Min Ha'omol, due to hard work, Hine Sham Yishkinu B'Menucho, there they rest in peace. Rashi, Pasik.
You're saying that the
Rishon
that he's talking about here are anonymous?
Both. Elu, there are many interpretations. What exactly is he just, is he being very poetic? I'm suffering. I wish I was dead. What goes on in the other world? What's it like to be in the kever? So he describes it. The kever, everyone's the same. There's no difference between a king, between a nefel, between the rich man, the poor man. And there, all the wicked people are quiet, and they're not torturing other people. Is this just an observation that he has no connection to, because he lived a good life? He lived a life of 70 years and he was not victimized. He was successful. He overcame all of the problems. Or are we saying that when he's making this statement, he's also alluding to the fact that there in the grave he would not suffer from the wrath of the Rishayim? When did he ever suffer from the Rishayim? He did. He did when the Rishon, the Kastin, and the Shva took away his possessions. So then it would be more personal, not just an observation, a philosophical observation of what it's like to be in the grave. Okay, Rashi, what Rashi says, Cholu Roges, Nimnohim Mirogzam, there in the grave, the wicked people are no longer angry. Shahayu Noyagim Regilim Lahargiz Baritz, because the custom of the wicked is to be agitated and in this world, and that need ceases to exist in the other world, which is a very difficult concept to understand, because we have many sources in Chazal that tell us that nothing really changes to the neshama in the next world. The same way there's jealousy in this world, there's also the midos that a person acquires in this world goes with him into the next world. Where do we find that? Give me one moment to remember. How can I forget this? Achav, yes. And Novos, so he, right, the guard in the garden, he wanted his, Achav wanted the garden, right, the Zevel, he wanted his garden, he wanted his vineyard. And he sent Izebel to get the vineyard. Achav sent Izebel, his wife, to acquire the vineyard. Or will he himself went to get the vineyard. And Novos HaYisraeli said, no way, I'm not giving you the vineyard. And so Izebel said to Achav, what are you so upset? I'll take care of this for you. What did she do? She hired false witnesses to testify that Novos HaYisraeli cursed Achav, cursed the king. Oh, you cursed the king. Yechayev Misa, we're going to kill you. And the rule is, someone who's married b'malchus, their property becomes, their possessions become the property of the king. So this was the idea, the brilliant solution of Izebel in order to seize the vineyard of Novos HaYisraeli. Shortly thereafter, in heaven, Pesukim say, Hashem wanted Achav to go out and to die in war. And I don't know if I'm mixing up the story, so I'm getting a little confused, but Hashem said to the Malach, what should we do? What should we do in order to convince the kings to go and fight? So there was a Ruach that was Yotza Milufnei Hashem, and said, this is what I will be, a spirit of falsehood in the mouths of all of the Nevi'im to convince this person, this king, to go and go to war and die. So Hashem says, you want to be that spirit? If you want to be that spirit, fine. But being that you're going to be a spirit of Sheker, say, leave my mechitza. I don't want you to be part of my mechitza. The question is, why would a Holy Spirit, a neshama, that's in the mechitza of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, want to leave the mechitza of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and go to this world and take revenge? The answer is, that neshama wanted to take revenge. Want to take revenge, but you're living now in the Olam HaNeshamas, the Olam HaEmes. In the Olam HaEmes, there's only Emes, there's only Chesed. The answer is not necessarily so. If you in this world become accustomed to jealousy and to kinna, tire and kavod, it's very hard to shake that off even in the next world. I'm not being clear, but there are Mamari Chazal that say this. Here, he's telling us something very different. That in the next world, the Rishayim who are Mole Kas in this world, their Kas subsides. They're no longer angry, they're no longer in a state of agitation of Rogas, and they're no longer to look for victims in the next world to attack, and take advantage of.
I'm not sure you can generalize from this.
Yeah, but you do see such a thing that the anger, it's what it says very clearly, Sham Rishayim Chadlu Roges, the wicked cease from anger. That is an interesting. What?
I mean, it's obvious.
It's not. All the Amar Chazal don't make it so obvious. They say that the needles a person takes with him that acquires with him in this world. We don't know what this means. Obviously, no one ever came back to tell us what's going on over there, but. There are indications that this is the world where you can hear, and you have to be careful. Let's see. V'sham yenuchu sham nachu davar ha'ahove sham nachu davar davar ha'ahove kasu b'loshen osid. There it's yenuchu b'loshen osid. Sham yenuchu will rest, because something which is constant is always written b'loshen osid in the future tense. So it just means that this is a reality. Okay, pasuk yud ches. Pasuk yud zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yachad Asirim Shananu. There Yachad means together, all of the prisoners are at peace. Lo Shamu, it's not heard in the next world, called the sound noges of the taskmaster. There is no oppressor. No one there is whipping people, prisoners, torturing prisoners in the next world. There the prisoners are at peace, and you're not going to hear the sound of a tyrant causing other people pain. Mitzud Vastavit Pasuk Yud Zayin Yachad Hanashim Shahayu B'masa. People that in this world that are imprisoned. Ad lo yimeis before they have died. Hinei Hashem kulam yachad b'hashkadim. In the next world they're all lying in peace. V'shan v'ein mi yishma sham kol noges. No one is hearing the sound of someone oppressing someone else. Hamachriz that makes announcements. La'avodas melech tells you get up and go to work. No one, you don't hear such words in the next world. Rashi pasik no Rashi pasik yud ches. Katon v'gadol shamhu. There everyone is the same. And there are many interpretations of this pasik, one thing at a time, but. For simply it means, going back to what he said in the previous book, that there's no difference between the rich and the poor, the king, the counselors, the Nafel, everyone is the same. He's summarizing what he said. Katon v'gadol shamhu, the small, the not important, and the important shamhu, the eved chavshi me adonav, and in the next world, slaves are free from the master. Rat mitzudas pasuk yidches katon rotzalaymar sham shave hakatan lahagadol ve'ein yisran lezel zed. There's no benefit, there's no advantage over the katon and the gadol. The shamnase ho eved chavshi me adonav ki lo yavdenu od. No longer will he serve his master. Rashi katon v'gadol sham nikar mi'os. So Rashi right over here. Is telling us over here some medrash, not like the Mitzudos. If you really want to know who is a katan and who is a gadol, sham, that's the real world. This world is an olam hafach, or that world is the olam hafach, all depending from which perspective, from where you stand. And that's what we have in the Gemara. The Gemara tells one day Amarav, he died, he was about to die, he had a near-death experience.
Out-of-body
experience, very popular today, and there are all these documented stories. And what did he say when he came back? He said, Olam hafach reisi. Elyonim lamata, tachtonim lamala. And his father said to him, "That's an olam hafach. That's an olam borer. You saw the real world. This world is the olam hafach. So if you really want to know who is a katan, who is a gadol, sham. That's what Rashi is saying. Pasuk is katan. The true little people, and the real big people, the real little people, and the real people who are gedolim, shamhu. They're there in the next world. In this world, people who we think are gedolim will be ketanim. And people who are insignificant will be in the next world gedolim. The eved chavshi me adonav, and there, people who are slaves in this world are free from the master. Rashi, katan gadol shamu, sham, there in the next world, nikar mi chashav mi shafal lefit sha'isa gedula gedulas olam hu, since that greatness is a greatness that is everlasting, ve'osa shiflas shiflas olam hi, because why is it sham? Because there nothing changes. You are what you are. Whatever you earn for yourself in this world, that's what remains with you in the next world forever, and that's the real world. While in this world, everything goes up and down. One day you're on top of the world, and the next day you're on the bottom. It's a gilgul ha'chizav olam, oisher, and kavod, and all of these things just go back. They are goes in cycles, but there everything is permanent. That's one Maamar Chazal, yeah. How does our concept of Gehenna? We have not yet got to Gehenna. We have a way to go to get to Gehenna. Don't worry, it's coming. He's giving general. He's just giving general descriptions, because obviously this is a very difficult pasuk. This pasuk borders on kefira. What is he saying over here? There in the next world, according to the Mitzudas says, "Katan v'gadol shamhu." Everyone is the same. That's kefira. It's not true. We all know that that's not so. That in the next world, it's din v'cheshbon, and everyone is not the same. So what then does Eve mean here when he says katan v'gadol? So on a very simple level, he's not referring to the reward and punishment. He's referring to the state of being. Dead is dead, meaning there's no opportunities. You are what you are. In this world, things fluctuate. There are opportunities, there is suffering, there's movement, there's fluctuation. In the next world, it's all over. Everyone is the same. You are what you are. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. But if you don't finesse it very carefully, you can say something which appears to be kefir. Rashi did not want to finesse it in that fashion. Rashi right away jumped to the Medrash, and he says, don't take the pasuk literally. What we mean over here is, you really want to know who the real deal, who's a tzaddik, who's a rasha, who's chashiv, who's not chashiv, sham, there in the next world. In this world is on. Now, when you take that Medrash, that Medrash to the pasuk, then it doesn't make any sense. What is he really saying then? That doesn't fit into his ma'aneh, his complaint, his response, because he's over here saying, "Hal, I wish I was dead already. I can't take this world. This world is it's too much to bear. There in the next world, I'll be at peace." Okay, but that's the medrash. There's another medrash that says, right, that's a similar understanding, right? That's a similar, there's no movement. Every death is the great equalizer. But there's more than just death. Then there's Schar V'Einish. There's another popular medrash that says, Katan, the gadol, person that makes himself a katon in this world, will be a gadol in the next world. It's giving a directive. In this world, you should make yourself small, you shall be humble, and through being humble, you will be a gadol shamhu there in the next world. That is a popular medrash. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Now he complains, why Hashem did you give yitin l'omel or to the omel, to the one who works light, referring to the person that's meant to suffer. Gesundheit. Level of here means omel means toil, and toil in this context means suffering. He's coming to complain, Hashem, since you know that this nesham is going to have suffering, why did you let it come into this world? Why did you allow this tortured soul to experience the light of day, the chayim? Why did you give life limore nefesh to those people that you foresaw? With you, when you know the future, would have a bitterness of neshama, would have a miserable life. Why would it not have been better for them to have not been born, or at least to die early before the suffering would come upon them? Pasuk Yutes in the Mitzudos. Lama Yitin Ratzal Laimar V'im Amna Makevu Humokay Manuach Margoa. Since the kever, the grave, is the place of peace, Lama Yitin Orho Oilam Lamish Nafshei Amel. Why then did you allow this to happen? To give life to a neshama who is Amel Bitzaros, who is destined to suffer in trouble. V'lam yitin chayim v'kafel hadav v'milim shonas. Pas Rashi, l'ma yitain hanoisin. Why did yitain? Did he give? Who is the he? Hashem, the one that has the power to give. Hanoisin v'hu akolish baruch hu l'ma lar l'mi shegadal ba'amel v'tzara, to the person that will grow, who is destined to grow, to live, to exist, to develop in a life of trouble. L'ma noisin lo or oilam v'lo himiso bihivoldo. Why did you not allow such a tortured soul to die prematurely before he experiences torture? Pasuk Chaf, Hamechakim Lamoves, Ve'enenu. These people, they yearn for death, but they can't find it. Why did you allow? Now you have to interpret the pasuk. Why did you allow these souls to come into this world when their whole existence will be nothing more than yearning to die? They can't wait to die. So why don't they take their own lives? They're not allowed to. Hashem set the rules. Person that's conscious. Conscience does not allow him to take it. Does not allow because he knows that his neshama is going to suffer even more. So why did you make the rules that you can't take your own life? And why did you allow people to live a life of misery where they do nothing more? Every day they wake up in the morning and they say, I can't take this anymore. I can't wait until it's over. And they can't find it. And they live. People who don't want to live, they live. Now this is very frightening what it says here. It's as these, there are people that have such misery, it's as if they're digging, they're gold diggers. Vayachperu mimatmonim. Death is more precious to them than a treasure. More than the greatest treasure. They search, they yearn. It's as if they're digging the earth to find death. Death is more precious than the greatest treasure. Pasachaf in the Mitzudos. Hamachakim, haloihema asher yikavu lamus, they yearn to die. Madua inenu, why is it that they can't find death? V'avki yichapshu, they search acharav yoiser more meachar matmonim. They search for death. They yearn for death more than they yearn for treasures. Rashi.
Are you allowed to pray that Hashem should take it?
So there is such an opinion. Yes, there is such an opinion. The person is suffering very much. There is it's machlek sapayskim. I remember reading an article, different poskim say that yes. What about other people? What about you? For yourself, certainly, I think, but what about can a family member pray that the relative should die? The relative is suffering so much, and it's hard for a caregiver to witness such suffering. Can he pray? Now, who says Hashem will accept this prayer? But he, it's psychological. He feels that he's davening that a person will die. Maybe Hashem will accept this prayer. Are you allowed to do so? So there is a machlokes ha'poskim. Some say yes, some say not. The person himself, he has more flexibility. The person himself is suffering. If you want it, you're not doing anything. You're not taking your life. But if life is so hard, you're not mechuyav to live. So there are many poskim that say
right
you can.
Into the FJJ on the hospice.
All
the letters are against hospice.
Well, you can't generalize. Right. You can't generalize. It's not.
Right.
Yeah. You can't generalize. You have to know. Because Hashem released those who are imprisoned. You're a prisoner of your own body. Person is suffering. Yes. You can't generalize. A lot of the stories of the hospital, people, they do want to live, or at least the people that are in a state, they don't know what's going on, and it's the family members who want them to live, and the hospice, they don't want, it's not profitable for them, or the care is not...
The family members that push the people who are dying and suffering to, come on, keep on going.
That's not necessarily right. Who says that's correct? Yeah, so you can't generalize. Every single case is so different. It's how could you compare one case to another case? You know, just to talk generalities, it's not... Okay, a lot of people, most people are coming out with horror stories, which is very true, absolutely. I mean, that's... All right, let's go further. So this is something which is very frightening. People over here who are yearning to die, and they're digging for death more, and it's more valuable than the greatest treasure. Pasuk of Aleph. Can we do the Rashi? Let's see if the Rashi pasuk chaf hamchak lamus lemori nefesh hateivim umisavim betoiv. Toiv is a very intense word, a taiva, very great desire. Umisavim lamus v'koivlim loymar einet loymar v'koivlim. They complain. I'm not sure what those next two words mean. V'koivlim, koiv means to complain. Loimar, to say einenu. They cannot find what they're looking for. death. They're complaining to, and they're complaining they cannot find what they're looking for, which is death. Vayach piru.
Maybe it means kovle, accept it on themselves.
No, kovle means to complain. Kovle means to complain. Yeah, they're complaining and they're saying they yearn to die, but it's not going. We're not going. They're keeping us alive artificially. Modern medicine. Vayach piruhu. And they're digging, miraglim acharav. They're searching for it. Miragl means a spy. They're trying to find solutions how they can end their life in a permissible fashion. Yes.
Because with respect to the miraglim, it says lachpar es ha'aretz,
to search the land. So those two words are used interchangeably. Mi matmonim yoiser misha miraglim achar matmone. Otsros the hoyu. More so, they dig for it more than they would dig for the greatest treasure. Pasik chof aleph hasmechem el gil. Those people that know how to rejoice. There are people, not everyone knows how to rejoice. There are people that are experts. They know how to have a good time. They know where to go to the good restaurants. They know the good vacations. Not everyone is an expert in enjoying themselves. But hasnechem el gil, those people who rejoice over an event that is worthy to rejoice over, yosisu, those people especially will take joy, ki yimtzu kover, when they find the grave. They will, in other words, it's just an expression that
those who know how to
can't
party,
wait. They will really party. People who know how to party, and now when they are in a situation where they are suffering, so when are they going to party? When they hit the grave. That's when they're going to party, because they're accustomed to yearning for a moment of joy, to accomplish something, to rejoice. Now when they find themselves in a situation of tsar, and they can't wait to get out of it, and the only way to get out of it is in the grave, so now they focus, they channel their koichos of joy, of yearning for accomplishment, in finding the grave. Mitzudas pasuk chaf aleph hasmechem hine. Behold, aho anashim shleime hadas. People who, when they were healthy, who are complete in their mind, hasmechem el davar, who know how to take joy in something asher roi, which is fitting to rejoice over, asher roi v'nochon lo gilbo haloyhema yosisu, they will rejoice kasher yimsu kever v'sibas moves, and will find the grave and the cause of death. Rashi pasik smechem el gil v'yosisu, they will rejoice. Imhayu moitzim kever, they will rejoice if they find the grave. Elei gil b'shvil hagila v'hasasan shel kever, they will rejoice over the finding, the joy of coming into the grave due to their terrible situation. Pasik chavetz legever asher darko nistara. Now here he changes to his new theme to a person. He's mentioning that there are people in this world. He's describing certain types of people that are not successful. People that are born under a evil constellation. People that are born under a bad mazel, who, whatever they do, have no success. Legever, concerning a man, asher, darko nistara, his way is hidden. Meaning he doesn't know how to make a way for himself in this world. He can't find a parnasa, he can't find a shidduch, he can't find a way. Not a shamil, it's not. There are people that are very successful, they just can't find their way. They can't find their way in this world. They just don't have mazel. They're very smart, they're very put together, they're well educated, they have all the mailos, they come from good families, but they just can't crack it.
They can be the smartest person in the world.
Exactly. We know people like this. They just can't crack it.